Dear friends, tonight I just want to catch up to speed what Peace has been doing over the Advent season. We've actually been reading the genealogy of Jesus. Wow, really sounds exciting. It is exciting, actually. And I just want to highlight, I'm not going to read the verses. I'm just going to talk about four people mentioned in Jesus' genealogy. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. It's all found in Matthew chapter 1. Dear friends, you know, it really matters having the right director for the children's Christmas program. Really does. You may remember, if you've seen the Peanuts spectacular Christmas program that ran in the 1960s, someone stepped up. Do you know who stepped up as the director of the program? Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, believe it or not, he directed. He was the leader, and it was really good that he did that because a lot of the characters were in disarray. Here, if you remember what was said in the beginning of Peanuts, I'll catch you up to speed in the Peanuts Christmas Spectacular. Lucy said her favorite part of Christmas was the jingling of coins in her pockets. She said that her favorite gift at Christmas is real estate. Charlie Brown is disgusted with Snoopy even. Because Snoopy enters into a holiday display contest because there's a big cash prize. Charlie's really disgusted. Then there's Sally. At the beginning, Sally asks Charlie to write her letter to Santa Claus, and it is a long list. Pages after page, Charlie writes. And then at the very end, she instructs Charlie to do this. Charlie, you can just say this. In lieu of gifts, you can, Santa, you can just bring large sums of money. Back in the day, it was tens and twenties. That's what was actually said in the Peanuts Spectacular. Disarray. Charlie goes to the first practice, and all his friends would rather dance to disco and listen to music on the electric guitar and the electronic keyboard and the bass. And all the characters in their Christmas program, none of them had any identifiable, there were no identifiable biblical characters. The main characters were penguins. It's disarray. There needs to be a director, someone to stand up. And finally, at the end of Peanuts, Charlie stands up and says this: can anyone tell me the meaning of Christmas from the top of his lungs? He gathers everyone together. That's what a director does. You see, you need a director for a Christmas program. I think we know that here at Peace Lutheran Church, don't we? We have great directors at Peace. We had our Christmas program a couple of weeks ago, and there's lots of little pieces that have to come together to pull that off. If people saw all the activity that builds for the month ahead, you wouldn't believe it. The costumes have to be prepped, and new costumes are enhanced. Of course, the lines are memorized, songs are remembered by the children. As a parent, I've got every line memorized. We practiced, and there it was. Angels have to be chosen, those cute little angels that have just the right lines. The director's got to get that in place. The wise men, they got to be middle school boys that can belt it out, We Three Kings. We had great ones this year. And then our comedy routine, the camels at Peace. They always have jokes for us to listen to. But the hardest part of our directors here at Peace, we have two, by the way, Colleen and Sally, they do a great job. Their hardest job, here it is. They got to decide, this is the controversy at Peace Lutheran Church, who is going to be Joseph and Mary each year? And secondly, how do we keep the pastor from speaking a lot? How can we, let's limit him. I know your tricks, Colleen. At the end of our Christmas program, we have high expectations that our children memorize their lines, that they sing the songs, and they're just filled, their bellies are filled with a bunch of chocolate at the end. And it happens every year. It's fantastic. And there's really a reason why. We have strong directors here at our church that lead our Christmas program. That's what it takes, a strong director. We have two of them here at Peace. Well, what I'd like to throw out there is maybe a different way to look at the gospel tonight. Matthew's gospel. Matthew is actually presenting a Christmas program. There are four of them, I guess, in the New Testament, you could say. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is the first one. Matthew has a unique Christmas pageant. And actually, if you think about it, you would think that Matthew would give a great Christmas program. He's a tax collector. He's into detail. And he's into organization. Do you know any accountants in your life? That's Matthew. Matthew, in his gospel, gives lots of detail, lots of organization. He has five blocks of teaching of Jesus. And this would have appeased a lot of people in the first century. Matthew's organized. But friends, there's something shocking in Matthew's gospel. I pointed out in the beginning of my sermon. It would have shocked everyone. Matthew puts into the pageant four women: Tamar, Ruth, Rahab, Bathsheba. Why these women? Does Matthew know what he's doing? Who hired Matthew to be the director of the program? When you choose women, first of all, you don't choose women in the genealogy in the first century. You never do that. That never happened. Secondly, if you're going to choose women, you got to choose the pristine ones, like Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. What is Matthew doing? You know, I bet you Matthew's pastor got a phone call from someone in the congregation. Pastor, Matthew chose Bathsheba, Rahab, and Rachel in the Christmas program. Pastor, you need to go to work and change that, or else we're not coming back next year. You better do something. You know, but the more that you look at it, I believe Matthew has done this on purpose. And here's the message. Matthew's Christmas pageant is not about perfection or performance. It's about the gospel, that Jesus loves sinners. That Jesus' love could extend out to victims and perpetrators of family dysfunction. That's actually Tamar, Genesis chapter 38. That Jesus' love could extend out to prostitutes who feel useless and used. That's Rahab. That's the book of Joshua. That Jesus' love could extend out to a woman that committed adultery and ruined the dreams of many generations. That's Bathsheba, 1 Samuel. That Jesus' love could extend to a woman who lost her country and her husband. That is Ruth, the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. I believe he's done this for a reason, because it was a personal thing for Matthew. See, Matthew actually had a personal encounter with Jesus. It's in the pageant too. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew was a tax collector. You didn't want to hang out with tax collectors, kind of like you wouldn't want to hang out with an IRS agent today. They were the enemies of the Jews. They were actually friendly with the Roman Empire. They were the ones who scraped off the top. This is Luke 18, Zacchaeus. He's scraping off the top and putting it into his pocket. That's tax collectors. No one wanted to hang out with them. Jesus goes up to Matthew. He says this, Matthew chapter 9, in the Christmas pageant. Follow me, Matthew. How stunning that must have been for Matthew. And then Jesus says this, I have come not for the righteous. I've come for sinners. You know, to be included must have been a heartwarming moment for Matthew. This is what would have been going on, the conversations Matthew would have had. Invitations to the birthday party? Oh, sorry, Matthew, we just ran out. You can't come. You're a tax collector. The big party down the street. Oh, Matthew, you and your family got to stay away. We can't hang out with you. Oh, there's Matthew walking down the street. Turn around, run away. Don't make eye contact. This is Matthew. Matthew knew this. How miserable a life Matthew must have had. One person reached out to him. One. Jesus, the one who's being born tonight. And he became a friend to Matthew. I think every single one of us can relate to that. Have you ever been rejected? Not chosen by someone? Hey, in second grade, I wasn't invited to a birthday party. I remember the guy's name, Connor Higgins. Not like I have any issues or anything. I was never chosen for Joseph. Clayton, you were chosen for Joseph. I was never chosen for Joseph in my church. You're a special guy, but not that I have forgotten it, moved on. I'm okay. I'm caught up with my sins and the faults that I've had in life that disqualify me. And I think every single one of us, that's the way that we are. Jesus comes to us and he says, follow me. I want to be your friend. I've come for you. Christmas, the Christmas pageant of Matthew is about the gospel. Jesus loves sinners, you and me. Every year here at Peace, we try to have perfect Christmas programs. We have perfect Christmas programs, don't we? We do. Actually, I got to tell you, this year, it got off to a kind of a rocky start. I went up and picked the microphone. The batteries were dead. And then 5 minutes before the service began, the projection that we worked really hard for, it crashed. We had no projection for the entire service. But the flubbubs that we have in our Christmas programs, let it remind us of the way Matthew introduces Jesus. No fireworks, no pedigree, no amazing tales, no actresses, no Hollywood glitz or glamour. Matthew shares the story through four women who are marginalized. It's the gospel, and it teaches us a very good lesson, and thank goodness, the gospel is for every single one of us. Jesus is here for you. Come, follow me, he says. Amen. Let's pray about that, and then we'll have our offering. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you didn't leave Matthew without any friends. Lord, more importantly tonight, I thank you that you leave each one of us tonight. Not without a friend, but you come and you become our friends. More than that, you become our Savior. Lord, continue to walk with us and help us to see we always have a friend in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now take some time to gather our offerings, and then we'll continue with our Christmas prayers.